Yeah. A lot of times I am the ringleader. Let's see. So he covered the chairs. When we circle up, he mentioned having it out there in the foyer, but I just don't think there's going to be enough room for everybody here on birthday night, especially. When you get up to make the circle tonight, let's make sure we lift the chairs up. We know what the floor looked like where we came from. And it's they said this is supposed to be a little bit better than that, but still, we don't want to take the chance on scratching it. So lift your chairs when you move them and stuff like that. There was one other thing. They asked us to not have any food or drink inside the sanctuary area. Out there in the foyer would be fine too. So there's just a couple of things there. So the title of this message tonight is Surprise. So I want y'all to say it with me. Surprise! Surprise! Right? So what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that, when you hear the word? A party, right? Surprise party. The first thing that came to my mind was my 50th birthday party. It was last year. And it was right when COVID started picking up and, you know, getting pretty bad. But there was still a bundle of y'all that showed up. My son took me fishing and Travis, and they had me away from the house. And we came back. Actually, they said, Jesse's car is stranded. You need to come back. We were actually catching fish, and they knew that they better make up some kind of story because I ain't coming off the water if we're catching fish, right? So they said, Jesse's car is stranded. It's in the middle of the road. You have to come back. You have to come do something, you know. So me and Travis, we come back, and we get that get to the house, and we come around the corner, and in my front yard, there is at least 50 people in my front yard. And we pull around the corner, and I said, Travis, why is everybody dressed like me? It was a white trash redneck party. So they was worried about me. There was this couple of people that asked Trina, hey, you know, everybody's going to be in costume. Shay will be in costume. Don't worry. That's what she said. There was a few of you guys there that was at my surprise party who I didn't know if you was even in costume, Robbie. You know, it's just the way you look, right? But that's what I want to talk about tonight, is being surprised. Travis has the bulletins and Bibles and pens and stuff like that. Raise your hand if you need one. There's some things that you can write down tonight. I'm going to try to stand a little bit, but a couple weeks ago I had gallbladder surgery.
And you gave it to Trina.
And then I gave it to Trina. We didn't know that gallbladder surgery was contagious. Yeah, but I don't know if she just tried to outdo me. She won't let me have my own thing, that's for sure. So anyway, she's at home. It's been a crazy 48 hours for me. We went to the hospital last night. I got home about 5 o'clock in the morning. I had planned on pulling the trailer to South Dallas this morning. Trina's surgery was also at 11 o'clock this morning. Stephen came through, and I just let him borrow my truck, and they went ahead and had church this morning. She got out of surgery about 2 o'clock. I brought her home at 4. She puked all over the car at 4:30. At 4:35, I was here. So we've been going at it. Does everybody got everything you need? All right, so. Like I said, we're going to talk about the word surprise and how that how the word surprise and how surprise is correlates with our faith. Like I said, the first thing that comes to our mind is a surprise party, right? So let's read a definition about the word surprise. It says an unexpected or astonishing event, a fact or a thing. When I turned that corner and saw all those people in my front yard, that was pretty astonishing. I was wondering, why is everybody dressed like me? It was an event. It was a surprise party. But I have a question for you tonight. Does God, Jesus, surprise you? Does he surprise you? Well, sometimes. You know, there's no right or wrong answer here. Because if he doesn't surprise you, I'm sure you've been surprised in the past. Is that a word, surprised? Yeah? Okay. I'm sure that you have been surprised. If he doesn't surprise you anymore. So what are you getting at, Shay, right? Okay. So I believe as Christians, we have a process that we go through that our faith grows. And the first part of that process is God surprising us. How he surprises. How he surprises us with those miracles, those things that we're not expecting. We're like, whoa, he really cares for me. Right? This reminded me of a story of me and Trina. She had been in school several years, and she was doing her clinical. It was the last class for her to get her RN. And this clinical cost, like, I don't know the exact number, over $3,000. And it was in Georgia. I don't know about y'all, but we don't have $3,000 just laying around. Even if we save it, it's used, you know. And so we were like, where's this going to come from, you know? And years before that, I had been receiving some letters from Lockheed Martin, and some letters I really didn't understand. It said 501K on it. I mean, it's some kind of retirement junk. I hadn't worked there in over 30 years. And I worked there 1 year and got laid off. And so I'd been receiving papers from them for a while and I had no idea what that was all about. But around about this time that she needed the money, I got another letter in the mail. And it was more, it told me really a lot more about what it was. And it was a retirement fund that I'd been a part of. And I had some money in there. So I made the phone calls to figure out what all that was about. And once I did, they said, okay, you can get your money. And it was exactly the right amount of money that she needed to go for that class. Miracles. We were surprised. This is something that I'd done 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I'd put a little bit of money into a retirement thing. And at just the right time, God says, now you need it. Surprise. Right? So we're great. We got this. We got the money, right? And then a couple days later, the transmission on her car goes out. And her extended warranty is out also. So we have to buy a transmission. Guess how much it cost? The exact amount of money that we had. So now we're back to square one. We got a new transmission because the test is in Georgia. We're going to have to drive there. So we got to get the car fixed. So the car is fixed. We had the money for that. We're at my mom and dad's visiting. My brother's over and everything. And so we're all parked in their long driveway. My brother leaves, and he comes right back in. And he says, dude, I hit your truck. I'm like, oh, crap. So we go outside. It's just a little dent in the side. And I'm like, it's an old truck. Don't even worry about it. You know, I go in the house. A little bit later, he goes, come out here. And he's on the phone. He done called his insurance agent and was going to get it fixed. He goes, no, I'm going to get this fixed. I don't want to do that. You know, I have insurance. I'm going to get it fixed for you. I said, all right, well, whatever. And so I got back to the colony, and the insurance company tells me to take it over to this place, drop it off. They're going to do an estimate, see how much it costs, and get it fixed. Well, they call me back, and they say, hey, we're not going to fix this. We're going to total it. I'm like, whoa, 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 it's just a little dent. And they said, yeah, but it's an older vehicle, and by the time we fix that, paint it and everything, it's going to be more than what it's worth. So we're going to go ahead and pay you for it. I said, well, how much? They said, $4,000. I said, that's more than what I paid for it when I've owned it for 6 years. You kidding me? I said, but I still want the vehicle. And they said, well, if you keep the vehicle, we'll give you $3,000. The exact right amount of money to pay for the test. Surprise! You know, about that time is when Trina starts coining the phrase, I have a big God. I have a big old God. And he was surprising us like that a lot of times throughout the years. But I mentioned, I think this is a process. I believe the second part of that process is once you've been surprised so many times, it turns into an expectation. Well, crap has hit the fan. God, what are you going to do? And we start to expect the unexpected. Well, I know something's going to happen. I just don't know what it's going to look like. We expect the unexpected. Which reminds me of another story about that same truck. I had a white Suburban at one time, and this white Suburban, on the way home when I bought it, the Suburban, the transmission went out in it on the way home. I think I was talking to Robbie on the way home when that happened. And the transmission went out on the way home. Anyway, we fixed the transmission. I owned the vehicle another 6 years. And on my way home one night, I pull into the driveway and the transmission goes out. And so I'm like, well, here we go. I know at this point, this single transmission is more expensive than the whole vehicle is going to be. So I don't know what I'm going to do. So I go in, I call Trina at work. What I did not know is Trina was talking to somebody about God who was a non-believer at work. And this lady was there in the same area when I was talking to Trina. And I said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and put out a prayer request and ask people to pray for us to figure out whether we should do another transmission or scrap it or do something about our transportation and stuff. And this lady walks by Trina and says, well, if God fixes your truck or gives you another one, I might have to rethink this thing. Oh, don't test God. So I put that prayer request in, and then about, I mean, probably 3 or 4 minutes, the phone rings. And it was a lady that used to go to church here. She now lives in another state. And she says, hey, I want to go ahead and help you. And I said, okay, that's cool. She goes, no, I want you to come by and pick up a check. I'm going to buy you another truck. I said, are you kidding me? Now, I'm not surprised anymore, but this is very unexpected, right? I expect God to move. We put out prayer requests. We expect Him to move. We expect Him to do something miraculous for us. But it's so unexpected when it comes. So I called Trina back. I said, hey, this lady from our church just said, come by tomorrow and pick up a check, and she's buying us a truck. And she, you could hear her scream through the phone, I got a big old God. And later on, the next day, that night, we took a picture of our God truck at the Walmart parking lot, and she sent it to that lady. Now, I don't know if that did anything special for that lady or whatever, but it sure did for us. It did for us. The unexpected. We now expect the unexpected. You know, I want to tell you a little bit something else about that truck. We were at a walk to Emmaus, and I came out. It was a candlelight, and I came out, and I was walking back to the car, and I walked by this car, and it was going tick, 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 tick. And I was, holy moly, there is something bad wrong with that. Me and Trina go get in the truck, and we're heading out. And we get about to the Colony, and my phone rings, and it's Teresa. She says, my car is dead at the Walmart parking lot. Where you at? And I said, I'm just passing it. I pull in. So I pulled in, and it was that car. It was going tick, 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 tick. Oh, my gosh. So we went, and I bought a bunch of oil and poured in it, and it's not turning over. It's nothing. And she's standing there, and she starts to cry. She says, what am I going to do? I don't have a vehicle, and I got to go to work in the morning. And at that time, my mom had given me my uncle's old little S10, little Ford Ranger truck, and that's what I was driving around. And my God truck was parked. So I looked at Teresa and I said, come get the God truck. And so she took the God truck and owned it for a little while. And now someone else owns it. That God truck has been passed on and passed on and passed on. God did the unexpected. With one vehicle, He's helped three different families out. God will do the unexpected. So, like I said, first we're surprised. We're surprised at the things that He does for us. We get real surprised about it. Then we get to a point where we expect the unexpected. But the last part, I think, is when you're solid in your faith, and when a struggle happens, you start anticipating. You start anticipating what is about to happen. Oh my gosh, I just lost my transmission. Here we go. Oh my gosh, the electric bill is due. Here we go. We get excited. We start to get excited. Oh my goodness, Trina is having gallbladder pain. How is she? He's about to fix. He's about to do something. He's about to do something big, man. And we get excited. We start to anticipate what he's going to do. We get excited about those things. You start to anticipate the surprise ending. Our faith grows through these processes. I want to take a look at a couple of people in Scripture tonight that got a surprise of their lifetime. They maybe had no faith. It doesn't even say that they were Christians. The first person I want to look at is in Acts 3. Peter heals a crippled man, and we're going to look at the crippled man. It's in Acts 3. If you got your Bibles, turn there. If you got your phone, whip out the phone, get your Bible app out if you want to follow along. If you don't, it's going to be right there behind me. And if you don't want to look that way and you want to look that way, there's one back there too, but that's going to be kind of awkward. So I'm going to start reading right there, Acts chapter 3. Now, along the way, I underlined some things here that jumped out at me, and I'm going to talk about them as I go. So here we go. Peter heals a crippled man. One day, Peter and John went to the temple at 3:00, the time set each day for the afternoon prayer service. There at the temple gate, called Beautiful Gate, was a man who had been crippled his whole life. Okay, so right there we see, here's the struggle. This man has been crippled his whole life. So here's our struggle right off the bat. So we know what we're working with. Every day he was carried to the gate to beg for money. And so I underlined to beg for money because I think that was this guy's solution. That's the only solution that he had to keep his life moving forward, is to beg for money. So he begged for money from people going into the temple. The man saw Peter and John going into the temple and asked them for money. Peter and John looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." The man looked at them, thinking they were going to give him some money. They thought, the crippled man thought, okay, this is what happens. I holler at people, they look down at me, they give me the money. This is my solution to my problem. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have something else I can give you. By the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." See, a new solution. A new solution given by Jesus through Peter. One that was completely unexpected to the man, right? What a surprise. What a surprise. You've been crippled your whole life. And somebody says, "Stand up and walk?" No, I can't. That would have been my reply, right? So he says, "Stand up and walk." Then Peter took the man's right hand and lifted him up. Immediately, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. He went into the temple with them. Okay, I underline that. It said earlier, every day he was brought to the temple gates. Never once said he went inside. This was a man who may not have been a Christian, may not have been a Christ follower whatsoever, but he knew if he sat outside that door, those people might give me something to live by, to live on. So from him being healed, he decided there might be something to this. He went inside the temple, walking and jumping and praising God. All the people recognized him. I underline that. There was people around who saw this. There's people around who saw this miracle. So they were just as surprised. Matter of fact, it says it down here. All the people recognized him and the crippled man who always sat by the beautiful gate begging for money. Now they saw this man, same man, walking and praising God. And they were amazed. They were surprised. They wondered how this could happen. Okay, as I said, there's the struggle. The man was crippled his whole life. He was poor, and that was his only solution. That was his only solution to life. What happened was the unexpected. He expected some money, but the unexpected happened. Peter came along, and through Jesus Christ, heals the man. And he went inside the temple. I would go as far as to say that he's probably never been in. I probably would go as far as to say that as far as he's ever went is to that gate. And because he was jumping and walking around in the temple, other people were amazed. Other people were surprised. Sometimes God may give you something you didn't even know you could have. See, this man didn't even know that he could have his feet and legs back. I don't know if he prayed for it. I don't know if he asked. But it doesn't say in this story that he prayed every day that God would restore his legs and restore his feet. It doesn't say that. I would go as far as to say that the man thought, I'm done. I'm crippled. I was born this way. This is what all I can expect. This is all I can expect out of life. But God gave him the unexpected. Gave him the unexpected. And he didn't even know he could have it. I want y'all to think about that. If you want to, turn to John 8. It's the second person I want to talk about. Actually, second group of people I want to talk about in John 8. It's the woman caught in adultery. If y'all are there, y'all can follow along on the screen. John 8, the woman caught in adultery. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he went back to the temple, and all the people came to him and sat and taught them. The teachers of the law of the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Okay, here's the problem. We have a problem. This woman's caught in adultery. They forced her to stand before the people, and they said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in having sexual relations with a man who is not her husband. Okay, stop right here. I've always had an issue with this. Where the heck is the man? It takes two, right? I can understand maybe the culture. But really, they were about to stone this woman. And there was nary a man in sight. Why did the man get brought down? I don't know. I'm going to ask Jesus one day. The law of Moses commands that we stone to death every woman who does this. There again, where's the man? But the law states that we stone to death every woman who does this. What do you say we should do? They were asking this to trick Jesus so that they could have some charge against him. The next words is, but Jesus. Done. But Jesus. See, because that's the deal. When Jesus steps into your problem, that's it. It's fixed. He's going to fix it. Some of you may not have been here several years ago. I preached a sermon that was titled, But Jesus. And I talked about a lot of the times where I personally was looking at a bad situation, but Jesus came through, but Jesus fixed it. So when I saw that, I said, but Jesus, I just underlined that real quick. But it says, but Jesus bent over and started writing on the ground. It doesn't say what he wrote. When they continued to ask Jesus their question, he raised up and said, anyone here who has never sinned can throw the first stone. I bet that was unexpected. I bet that was a surprise. They didn't expect that. So what would you think he was writing on the ground? I don't know. I've talked to several other people, and some people say maybe their sins. But it says, anyone who has never sinned can throw the first stone. Then Jesus bent over and wrote on the ground again. Those who heard Jesus began to leave one by one. First the older men, then the others. Jesus was left there alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus raised up again and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one judged you guilty?" She answered, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "I also don't judge you guilty." Surprise! "You may go, but don't sin anymore." "I also don't judge you guilty." She was expecting him to be the guy who judges her the worst. They brought her to him to be judged. They brought her to him to be judged. Surprise, I'm not going to judge you. I have grace. Grace, this is the first time that this woman's probably ever saw grace. The problem, she was caught in adultery. So who was surprised in this story? Obviously the woman, right? Do you think the men standing around there were a little surprised? I'm going to go back. It's another question I'm going to have to ask Jesus. What'd you write in that dirt? What was that? What'd you write down there that caused all them guys to drop their rocks? You know, I believe if I was in a situation like that and someone started calling me out, you know, and all the bad things that I'd done when I was standing there trying to judge somebody, I might have the same reaction. I might tuck tail and run. Jesus provided a solution that no one expected in this story. It was very unexpected. The last thing that probably surprised her, like I said, was he said, "I also don't judge you guilty." It's that word grace. That grace. See, we have grace now. Jesus went to the cross. See, his last words to her was, "You may go now, but don't sin anymore." Now I ask you, do you really believe that Jesus thought that she was going to leave there and never sin again? No. He knew better. And he knows that about us too. If he thought that she could go and sin no more, he would have never gone to the cross. He wouldn't have had to. He set that bar for us, knowing we could never reach it. So he went and died for us. So, how do we get to this place? If you're not to that place of surprise, expectations, expecting the unexpected and the anticipation. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it actually talks about this. On page 86, it says, "In thinking about our day, we may face indecisions. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax. We take it easy. We're working with a big God. We don't struggle. Why? We're working with a big old God. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. So how? We ask for it. It says right there, here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, a decision. We relax, we take it easy, and we don't struggle. That's how we get the surprise. So my thought, I want to leave y'all every time I'm up here, I want to leave you with something to think about, something to meditate on throughout the week. And so the question, and it's in that bulletin, you can take it home with you if you want to write it down. It's the same question I started this message with. Does God surprise you? Where are you at? See, I can stand up here and say, nope, he don't surprise me at all anymore. But you may be in a place where you're being surprised every day. You may be in a place where you're getting that unexpected. You're expecting something, but it's unexpected. Not what you thought it would look like. Or you may be in a place where you're anticipating everything. The next question is, do you anticipate His greatness? Are you waiting on something good to happen? And you know God can do it. Do you get excited? Well, do you?
Yes.
Amen. There's no doubt that He will surprise you. All you got to do is be open to it. See, for a lot of years, God was working in my life, and I didn't give Him no recognition. I didn't. Those surprises were there for me to see. I just, oh, wow, can you believe that happened? Oh, what a coincidence. No, He was there surprising me all the time, but I did not give Him the recognition. So tonight, if you're a non-believer, if you're just thinking about following Jesus, if it's something you might consider, get with Ken or me or Adam. Adam is the pastor for the Methodist Church here. He's here with us tonight. Y'all give him a hand. Linda, be in the back. Talk to any of these people. But if you want to just give your heart to Jesus right there where you sit, you can do that too. If you guys want to come on back up, you can do that just right there where you're sitting. It doesn't have to be this big theatrical event. Some people may think so, but it can be personal, just with you and Jesus sitting right there in your chair. Just ask Him into your heart. Like I said, if you need to talk to some people about that and you're thinking you maybe have had some of these surprises happen to you, but you're not real sure where it's coming from, talk to a few of these people, man. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to get in with our worship. Lord, thank You for what You're doing in this church. Thank You for this church building. Thank You for First United Methodist and their willingness to open their doors to us and welcome us into their home. Lord, I pray for anyone out there that is still struggling, someone that's out there that's not open to seeing the surprises that You do in their life, Lord. I pray that their eyes are open, that the scales fall off their face. Lord, bless each and every person in this church, in this congregation. I know their hearts, they love You. Lord, we love You. We're grateful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us so that we could live forever. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Chicka, chicka. Oh. Pete, I'm an overcomer, man. When we take into action the 12 steps with the support of a sponsor, we begin to receive the 12 promises. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness.
Two.
We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it.
Three.
We will comprehend the word serenity.
Four.
We will know peace.
Five.
No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others.
Six.
That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear.
Seven.
We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows.
Eight.
Self-seeking will slip away.
Nine.
Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change.
Ten.
Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these hopelessly extravagant promises? We think not. They're being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They always materialize if we work for them. All right, let's let this family represent what we can do together, but none of us can do alone. With whose help? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever, ever.
Amen.
Keep coming.